The interview portion of this show begins right now. We are joined by a senior writer for CBS Sports, host of the Pick Six NFL podcast, friend of this program, also a fan of Pressure Luck, as am I. Will Brinson joins us. Will, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, doing awesome, man. Hope you're doing well.
Dude, I'm doing great. It's great to hear your voice. Will, thanks so much. Let me start with this and get it out of the way. Let me get something out of the way, and that is Rob Gronkowski is trying to get this out of the way. Will, he announced his retirement back in March, but the thinking had been he just wants a little bit of time off, and then he'll be back Sunday. Will, he said, quote, whatever I say, it doesn't matter. It'll always be crazy out there. You can put him to rest, end quote. So what do you make of that? Is Gronk officially retired now?
I think Gronk's done, Jim. I mean, here's the thing. He went out on top. You know, he won a Super Bowl. He is probably, in my opinion, and you can certainly make the case, the greatest tight end of all time. He's going to be a surefire Hall of Famer, I think. The Hall of Fame committee gets mad if you say that. He made millions of dollars, and he's going to, like, slide right into some WWE acting, like, The Rock-style career. And I think he's probably spent the last few months enjoying his life without fear of having to go back to OTAs. And he got out while he's fairly healthy without any major damage to his back and to his body, 30 years old. I think this is it. You know, there's too much money to be made in entertainment. I know that there's going to be stuff floated about him coming back. I think that's primarily because his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, would love to get some more money from the Patriots and line his own pockets. And I get it. I mean, look, it makes sense from a business perspective. But I just think Gronk has done to deal with playing football and all the things that go along with it. And he gave it his maximum effort down the stretch, won the Pats the title, walked out a champion, and now he gets to go, like, you know, suplex some dudes in WWE.
I agree. Will Brinson joining us, CBS Sports senior writer and the host of the Pick Six NFL podcast. All right, so let me keep you in the AFC East. You were all over Adam Gase's eyes in his introductory presser nearly 5 months after he was hired. What do you make of his offseason and the Jets' offseason?
It's weird. I think it's two separate things, right? I think Adam Gase's offseason has been unnecessarily headline-y. And way too many people are talking about him. You don't want people talking about your team the way that people are talking about the Jets, right? I mean, they're talking about them in the fashion of, all right, they fired their GM after he spent millions of dollars in free agency. He's battling with his coach. The coach is the interim GM. The coach doesn't like Le'Veon Bell. All these headlines are the type of distractions you want to avoid if you're the Jets. I mean, when you talk about the team in the AFC East that has been, you know, the standard bearer for how to handle this stuff, it's the Patriots, and they don't let these things, you know, become an issue. I mean, they just don't year to year. And the Jets are seemingly, it's like the Jets got mad that the Giants stole the title of most dysfunctional New York franchise. And said, we got to get this back. How do we pull this off? And they did a really good job of it. You know, I think from a football perspective, even though I don't like the cost involved with Le'Veon Bell, the cost involved with C.J. Mosley, I think you can make a case that what the Jets did overall was a really nice job in terms of building out their roster. I mean, they added Le'Veon Bell and Jamison Crowder as short yardage pass catching weapons for a second year quarterback in Sam Darnold. I mean, he's going to fit perfectly with those guys, and he's going to fit perfectly with, you know, what Adam Gase's system offers in terms of similarity to routes that he threw at USC. Defense is expensive. They've dumped a bunch of money into it, a bunch of high ground picks, but it could potentially be a good defense, and we're hearing good things about it from what Greg Williams has done so far. So I think the Jets can contend in the AFC, but they got to get this business off the field out of the way.
Will Brinson joining us once again. All right, Will, let me ask you about Gerald McCoy signing with the Carolina Panthers. That just went down. How do you like that fit for him and for the team?
Had a really interesting discussion on my podcast. It's daily. You can subscribe on iTunes. With Jordan Rodriguez of the Charlotte Observer. It's actually out today. And so she had sat down with Ron Rivera previously, and basically Rivera realized this offseason that if he doesn't take control of his defense and he doesn't get it back to the level that it's been at for several years before the departure of all these coordinators, whether it's Sean McDermott or Steve Wilks out the door, then he's probably going to lose his job. And I think he understands that being multiple and being versatile is really key. And so what you're going to see from the Panthers this year with Gerald McCoy, Kawan Short, and Dontari Poe are a bunch of three-man fronts. And then they're going to have these linebackers, you know, Shaq Thompson, pass rushers like Bruce Irvin and Brian Burns, the rookie they drafted in the first round. And then you're going to have they're going to be flying off the edge. And you're going to have a guy like Luke Kuechly roaming free in the middle because McCoy and Short and Poe can lock up defenders. And they're going to be able to sort of morph into something different when they need to against various opponents. And so at least in Ron Rivera's mind, what this is a defense with McCoy that gives them so much more versatility because of his ability against the run, his ability to rush from the inside if he needs to. And that's why the Panthers, you don't see this much, Jim. I mean, maybe Eric Reed they did it with, but, I mean, they don't spend big on free agents. The last real time they spent big on a free agent was back in, like, 2011 when Jerry Richardson wanted to make himself look like less of a jerk to the players. So he had Marty Herney go out there and make it rain in free agency and sign Charles Johnson for, like, $80 million. They're just not big spenders, but they were one of the big spenders when it came to going after McCoy. I think the price tag is, it's high, but it's a one-year deal. $8 million up to $10.5 million. I like the move by Carolina because this is a franchise from the quarterback to the coach to the GM that knows that they're all in 2019 if they want to keep their jobs.
Big, big swing. And you have to think a lot of that's going to come down to Cam Newton and his shoulder. Will, before you go, let me ask you about the Cleveland Browns. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm not just driving that Browns bandwagon. I built that thing on the NFL Today back in week 5 last year before they beat the Ravens in overtime. That said, they have become the hottest team in the NFL, but you were not exactly fired up about them. Why not?
I'm catching flack for this, Jim, and I feel bad because, look, I think that if you built if I were building, I don't know about the perfect quarterback, but a quarterback that I want to cheer for more than any other quarterback I've ever seen before, it might be Baker Mayfield. Everything about him on field, off field is just wildly entertaining about the way he approaches the game, the way he approaches life. I want the Browns to win big. I am just a little worried that the hype has gotten to be too much for Cleveland. I was on the Browns Daily podcast at the Combine, and we were talking about it. And basically, if Cleveland does anything worse than 9-7, it's going to be considered a colossal disappointment for that franchise. And that's a pretty high bar considering they've won, eight games in the last 3 years. I mean, it's asking for a pretty big leap. I get it. You go out and get Odell Beckham. You sign guys like Sheldon Richardson. You invest, all over the roster. You've got this young quarterback who, in my opinion, Baker should have been the rookie of the year. You got Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, Antonio Callaway, tons of weapons on offense. Nick Chubb, budding superstar. A couple of points I'd worry about, though. I think the offensive line, they're starting Greg Robinson at left tackle. That's not an ideal scenario. I worry a little bit about how that line is going to cohese. And then Freddie Kitchens, who I'm all in on. I'm buying Freddie Kitchens. I love his personality and his football acumen. But he is a first-year head coach, and there is a transition there. No matter how good you might be as a positional coach or a coordinator, there's a transition. And so I think the Browns have to be careful because if they stumble out of the blocks, it could be a more competitive AFC playoff race this year, and I don't think you can guarantee a wild card. I love the Browns. I just think I'd go under on the total.
Will Brinson joining us, a CBS Sports senior writer, host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast. Very good friend of the program, too. Will, appreciate you. Great to have you back, man. Thanks so much. We'll do it again soon.
Take it easy, man.
You got it, Will Brinson. Hey, listen. That's all logical. I can't dispute some of his concerns, per se, except that I do not share those concerns. I am all in. That is America's team with America's coach and America's quarterback. Crazy skill offensively, great talent in playmakers, flying to the football defensively. Sure, the expectation's a thing. It's a real thing. I just trust that you've got the right coach and the right leadership in that locker room to manage that expectation. And when things do not go well, if they don't go well, they're going to hold together.